Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I'm your host. I know that didn't rhyme, but I don't care. I learned from Chris, so you better beware. Joining me, as always, is Gen X Jess. It's time to move along, because this rap's a mess.
Oh, my God. I can't even breathe.
By the way, I'm not doing a mic drop, because those things are expensive, and Rob gets kind of mad if you keep breaking them. I lied. I'm a better liar than Chris is.
Oh my! Oh, my stomach hurts. That. I'm sorry. That was amazing. Okay, I'm gonna stop now. Oh my God! Thank you for that moment. Oh, that was incredible.
Wow. Was it beneficiary to you?
It was so beneficiary to me. I needed that after this week I've had. Wow, that was good. I did not expect that. And you are a good liar, because I was excited about the prospect of you rapping and you shot that down real quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I considered putting together a rap, but then I remembered I don't rap. But I guess it doesn't matter if you don't rap. Cause...
No, I don't. I don't rap, but I clearly rap as well as Chris does.
Were you wearing shiny sunglasses when you did it?
No, I'm indoors, so, you know, that wouldn't work out real well.
Oh, that was amazing. Okay, so you almost sang on the podcast. That was close.
Yes. Yes, so it was close.
You've now rapped, so perhaps yes. We'll get you to sing next time.
No, you won't. But okay.
That was incredible.
So anyway, by now, listeners are like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Okay, I'm good. Focused.
Okay, good. To get into the rest of the podcast here, you know, normally at this point, we would start talking about how we're upset because we made some incorrect predictions. And, you know, this time, especially, you might think I'm mad because I predicted Chris would go home 4 times and then I finally stopped.
Yeah.
And then 1 week goes by and then he's gone.
Yep.
But I'm not mad. I'm thrilled because it was a freaking hysterical episode.
It was. Can I tell you, really, truly one of my favorite episodes in like forever. I watched the entire episode. I think my jaw was just open the entire time and I couldn't even keep track. The editing was fantastic. It was so great. So much fun. I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is last week we talked about how great an obvious downfall episode can be.
Yeah.
And this was the perfect example of that. I started picking up on it right from the beginning. And by about midway through, I was darn sure this was the downfall episode of Chris.
Yeah. Oh, it was. And then he gets the idol and you're like, what is happening? Oh, but it was so well put together. I was really in my entire family. Like, we were watching it together and my husband and I were just the entire episode, like, just in shock with everything that was happening and how quick it was moving and how they were putting things together. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they couldn't do it with Bradley. They didn't want to have two obvious downfall episodes in a row.
Yeah. Cause this one was, I mean, I really feel like, unfortunately for Chris, I mean, Chris was, he was great TV, but his story was so revolved around Dominic that it was almost like you have to do it this way, because what else are you going to do with Chris? You know, that it really, it, his story was so intertwined with Dominic that it ended up really culminating perfectly for the merge episode.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it was great. And I also thought it was interesting that, you know, we fell prey to a season long con job by CBS on previews and commercials, because this whole time we've been commenting about how they've been worthless or misleading, yeah, not helpful. So when there was a preview saying this episode would be all about Chris versus Dominic, I didn't believe them. I don't think you believe them.
No, we didn't pick them as the boots either, because we were like, oh, that's not going to happen. Yeah, look at that.
So good long con there, CBS. You got us.
It was great. And I have to add, too, that I know there's been a lot of mixed reviews about the Wendell comments at the end when he's voting.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it so much.
So did I.
It was so good.
I don't know how
great you
cannot enjoy it unless you're Chris. I mean, yes. I could understand Chris being upset, but personally, I thought it was awesome.
I loved that he just kept going. He wanted to stop and then he'd say something more. Wanted to stop and said something more. It was truly enjoyable, as was Dominic when he was voting. Like, it was all around a fun time for us as viewers. And I do think Chris appreciates it as well. He said for a fan, he was even on the edge of his seat, even though he knew what happened, because the way that they put it together. So overall, I think everyone can agree it was a fun episode. Even Chris.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So with those preliminaries out of the way.
And you're rapping. Oh my God.
And my rapping, yes. A quick reminder that we will be going through my Survivor rules to see what Chris did right and wrong. In this case, spoiler alert, the list of what he did wrong is a bit longer than the list of what he did right. If you want to see the rules, you can find those at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. If you want to hear what he did right and wrong, well, let's jump into it and figure out why Chris lost.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with the first rule, which, of course, says to scheme and plot. Now, not to give another spoiler for the rest of the podcast, but this may be the rule where he did the best. And I don't think he did that well here. So, you know, I guess at least he tried.
He did try. Yeah. And that's the thing that I feel like I struggled the most with Chris is I want to give him credit because he really did try. But I feel like he couldn't get out of his own way while he was trying.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that Chris was trying to make alliances, trying to get people on his side. Even had a plan, which he laid out both in a web confessional and the secret scene for episode 6. And basically his idea was for all the strong challenge players to eliminate the quote unquote middle class of players.
Yes, his middle class, lower class,
right,
upper class.
Right. And the middle class is the group of players who are good at strategy. And then he wanted to keep the goats. But, you know, one major problem with this idea is that he expected the good strategic players to not see this coming or do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that would mean they're not very good strategic players.
And the other problem, too, and not to cut you off, but if you're going to try to utilize that strategy and you want to have close relationships with the lower class who you're going to bring with you, they have to feel like they're a necessary component of your game as opposed to being directed how to play your game.
Right, right. And even someone who he wanted to work with, who he didn't think of as a goat, was Laurel. And in the secret scene, he proposed this idea to her, who I would say is both a challenge threat and a strategic player.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris was acting like he was some sort of strategic genius and she was just going to be one of his followers.
Yeah.
But she told us that Chris was missing the importance of the strategic part of the game. And yeah, he was.
Well, and the other thing, too, that I feel like he was missing was just a sense of having a proper read on circumstances and people. Like that conversation with Laurel, when he ended up starts sharing about himself, about being a model, and how she's not supposed to have known any of this about him. And her reaction to it was basically, duh. You know, like, how am I not supposed to know these things about him? But in his mind, it was like he was pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. Like, no one's going to see this. But no, everybody did see it because it was very apparent and obvious.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten about his super secret lie about I'm currently a model instead of I used to be a model.
I know, it was so great.
Somehow that piece of strategic importance escaped my memory.
It did. Yeah, it did. I thought Laurel's reaction was great.
So, yeah. But you're right. He didn't seem to really be able to understand the other people. I think one problem he had was he seemed to confuse being friendly with being allies. So he had a great emotional bond with Donathan, as we saw on the show. But now Chris has said in interviews that he's pissed at Donathan for voting him out, while at the same time he said he can separate the game from personal interactions.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true, because he had that bonding moment with Donathan, and Donathan acknowledged in a confessional as well that he was closer now with Chris than maybe a lot of others on the tribe. But at the same time, I think Donathan realized what was best for his game was not staying associated with Chris. And that's why Donathan was the first one to throw him under the bus after the very large walk to the water well.
Whether or not Chris understood the difference, Donathan and the others certainly did understand and could separate the game. So I'm sure he had good relationships with some of them, but that doesn't mean you're allies.
Yes.
And, you know, add to that the fact that I don't think everyone he thought of as a bosom buddy really was, you know, then you've got this whole mess of people that you think are on your side.
Well,
that aren't.
Yeah. And even the relationship he formed with Wendell, he talked about how he and Wendell had become close. Like once they ended up, I think it was the second swap and they became green, whatever the name of the tribe was. I can't remember. And
Vanuya,
thank you. I can't.
Come on, you knew it.
Yanuya. There you go.
Right.
Vanaka, Vanuya, Yanuya. There's so many things. But
let's call the whole thing off.
I know. But one of those things is, you know, when he was talking with Wendell and feeling like he had this closeness with Wendell, Wendell addressed that in one of his confessionals that Chris really is a bit much and is a little bit arrogant and a little bit cocky, but he wins challenges. So he's like, I'm willing to kind of put that aside because he's winning and I like winning. And so it's another one of those misreads where Chris thought he and Wendell were close, but Wendell was thinking, this guy's going to help me win challenges, so I'll be okay for now. So I do think a lot of it was just a misread on people in the situation.
Yeah, I think I have some notes about that a little later here.
Probably.
But you know, Chris had a foolproof plan, and there was no way Dominic and Wendell were getting out of this one. And to make sure, he told everyone except them about the plan.
I know.
You know, like you said. Now, to be fair, I'm going to put this out there. Chris did say in his interviews that he only asked Angela and Desiree to join him in getting water, and the rest just follows. But you know, I rewatched that, and it contradicts what was actually shown and said on the show.
Yeah, he might as well have been playing a little flute to get them to all follow him.
Yeah, he announced that he was getting water to everyone. He specifically invited Desiree. Okay, so that's one, right? And Michael. He specifically invited Michael. He also said in confessional that he decided to be the bold one and take everyone but Dominic and Wendell to the well. So his whole story doesn't line up. He said it on the show. Now he's saying something different in interviews.
Yes.
You know, and Stephen Fishback is fond of saying interviews are not canon. And I usually say they're pretty close. In this case, not canon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that scene was very, it was very weird, because everybody who plays the game of Survivor knows how important the water well is. And when people get back from challenges and I'm going to go get water, who wants to go with me? Everyone knows that those conversations are going to take place at the water well. You're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes when you do that in the first place, when you take off with two or three people. But when you take off with 11, you know, I mean, that's like, that's a bit much. That's a bit much.
Yeah. And, you know, forgetting for the moment that his facts are messed up about whether he invited them or they all just followed the yellow brick road. He did admit in interviews that he acted too impulsively in trying to talk to everyone at once when they were there.
Yes.
And, you know, but then he also said in interviews that afterwards he went individually to five people he thought he could trust and asked for their points of view. And they all lied to him. Now, this gets back to what we were saying about not being able to read people, because it tells me something about both his ability to scheme and plot and his ability to determine when people are telling him the truth. I mean, five people lied to him without triggering any sort of alarms.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
Right.
And, you know, I suspect it goes along with something Libby said, which is that Chris really has no idea how to lie. Well, if you don't know how to lie, you probably also don't know how to detect when someone is lying to you.
Very, very true. Very true. And also Angela, in one of her confessionals at the beginning, when the potential vote off with Angela had occurred. I don't remember what episode that was. Episode 3, maybe. But she said that Chris talks to you instead of with you. And I think that was exactly what we saw at the water well. He was talking at them instead of kind of turning it into a group conversation, like, hey, you know, let's all kind of put our heads together. He had already made up his mind of what he wanted to see happen and then told everybody what needed to happen. And then was like, all right, is that cool? Everybody good with that? Yeah. And that's that's not going to be a good way to forge relationships, because people aren't going to feel like they are significant in your plans. They're just a number, unfortunately.
Right. Right. So before we move on from this rule, I do want to address one more issue here, and that is two votes against Libby, because I think it's weird that the votes came from Angela and Desiree, since I see Angela as a potential Chris ally and Desiree as a Kellen ally.
I don't understand it at all either. Thank you for bringing it up.
Well, it seems that Chris knew Angela was part of the backup plan to vote against Libby in case everyone else played idols. So one question is whether or not Desiree knew what was really happening, and I suspect she did. The other question is if Angela knew the vote was going against Chris, and I don't think she did.
I don't think she did either.
Right. But if she did, and she was lying to him about he wasn't the target this time, but would be next time, as he described in interviews, then that's a genius play on her part and whoever she was working with.
Yes. And it's such a strange combination, too, because Chris makes it sound like he had people on his side and he had numbers. And there was a question in one of his exit interviews about the Libby vote. And he acknowledged that, I knew they were going to vote for Libby and I probably would have done the same. But what about Dominic? What happened with this whole like one of us is going down? But now all of a sudden you're talking about, well, let's vote out Libby. None of it meshed. It didn't make any sense. And I couldn't really figure out what the strategy was there, because really he wanted Dominic to go home, but he couldn't vote. So we'll never know.
Right. Right. Again, not canon when it comes to Chris.
Probably.
All right. So we move on to the second rule, which discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and backstabbing too soon. There is definitely an argument to be made here that Chris attempted to backstab too soon. And I'm not just talking about this episode, but also the original swap. I said it back when we were discussing why Morgan lost, and I'll say it again. I really like how Stephen Fishback described the situation at this tribe in his People blog after the third episode, where he said, meanwhile, on the new Navidi tribe, the old Navidi members aren't going to let something as silly as a numerical advantage stop themselves from self-destructing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw away a numbers advantage of only one person due to infighting, that is definitely backstabbing too soon. And that is precisely what Chris attempted to do, which forced Dominic's hand in response, which led to the Morgan blindside at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the long run, that didn't affect Chris, but nor did he learn from it. He had the opportunity to correct that mistake at the merge, and instead he chose to throw it away.
Yeah, and that was an interesting moment, because I do think that Wendell and Dominic were genuine in their attempts to kind of smooth things over for the time being, because I think both Wendell and Dominic realize where they sit in that merge and the likelihood of them getting votes cast against them. Well, let's keep somebody like Chris with us so that way we can have more numbers and less votes against us as we move down the road. And I do think it was genuine. I really do. And this is the one thing that I think Rob and Fishback both said is the number one rule in Survivor is you always say yes. And yeah. Chris sat there and said, I can't say yes to any of this. I can't. Yeah. And Dominic was like, well, at that point, you've made the decision for us. You've told us what we need to do. And Wendell threw his hands up and was like, that's it. You know, I mean, and I do think that it was a genuine attempt by each of them. And he just tossed it aside.
Yeah, I refer to that as the line from Ghostbusters. You know, if anyone asks if you want to be in an alliance, you say yes.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Same as if anyone asks you if you're a god. So.
That's amazing. Oh, that was good. That was good. I like that.
So, yeah, that's the Ghostbusters, you know, the Ghostbusters strategy.
I do love Ghostbusters.
But I'm going to hold off on giving a little bit more of my opinions on the offered deal until, I don't know, maybe the next rule. But aside from Chris's backstabbing errors, he also schemed and plotted too much at Ghost Island. And, you know, I don't want to talk about his actual failure to play the idol right now. We'll get there in Rule 7. But I just want to talk about his gamble, because he said in a web confessional that he believed the risk of losing his vote was worth the reward of extending the idol's life. I'm just going to flat out say it. He was wrong. He only needed the idol at this tribal council. If he survived with everyone on his side, it was unlikely he was going to suddenly become the next target.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear the story from Angela about being fine this time and the supposed target next time until just before tribal council. So he had no reason to believe it when he was risking his vote to unnecessarily extend the idol's life.
Yeah.
And there was just no reason to take a chance on losing his vote.
Yeah. I mean, when you are at 13 person merge and there's so many computations and potential little groups that could form from those people, and you know that there are two people who are strongly gunning for you, your vote is exceptionally important. And so is having the idol. And now you've got both. You have a vote and you have an idol. And you're in a much better position at a time like this, a much better position. Yeah, I don't think that was. And this whole concept of, well, if I extend it a little bit longer, then I know I could be there for 6 days. I didn't understand his explanation about the risk component of this, that he was. And maybe I should just save this. But this idea of he's willing to take the risk because it could get him, you know, 6 days in the game instead of three. It to me didn't make any sense, but that's more about the misplay of the idol, I think, than at that point.
We'll get there, but as a little hint, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it didn't. So, it really didn't.
All right. So we can move on to the third rule, which tells players they need to be flexible. And as an example of what's meant by this rule, Jeff Probst said on the episode, you have to be able to adapt and reassess. But we saw Chris believed he knew better. So what do you think about Chris's flexibility?
He had none. He really, he just, it still kind of blows my mind that he was so dead set against Dom. And I get it. I was one half of the same type of issue on my season with someone named Chris. You know, we knew at some point we were going to be going after each other. And Adam, I can still remember when he found out that Chris had suddenly decided we're voting for Jessica tonight, and the information had gone back to us, and I brought it to Adam's attention and told him what was going on. Adam was like, I didn't think we were going to have to do this yet. Like, I didn't think we were there yet. Like, we all knew it was going to happen, but we thought we could wait a little bit longer. And I feel like he could have had that same opportunity. You know what? We can worry about each other later. We, you know, let's bygones be bygones. We'll move on. And he just, no, he was, it was, it what that I think was a huge misstep for him. A huge misstep.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, because we had already mentioned his refusal of the deal, which clearly shows a lack of flexibility. And, you know, he was going to do it his way and to hell with any other possibilities, which is also what happened back at the original swap, as we talked about earlier. He was not going to adapt or reassess. He was going to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was so even, and I think in the way that you watch him when he spoke with Angela and when Angela became so turned off by the way he communicated with her, that again showed his inability to be flexible, where he's not even listening to the things that she's saying because he's coming at her with, this is what's happening and this is what's going to be best for us. And if we want it, you know, and instead of having a conversation. And I think that if he kind of stepped back and listened more, he probably would have done better for himself in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. And so that discussion about his refusal to even consider the deal leads nicely to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them, because I would make the case that he made that decision for emotional rather than strategic reasons.
Yeah.
You know, he said in interviews that after 22 days of nothing but lies from Dominic, he couldn't trust them. He would have become their shield, and it would have been too humiliating if he'd agreed and then they turned on him. And so he said he wouldn't be anyone's puppet, and that could be his downfall in playing Survivor, you know, as if that was his only downfall in playing Survivor. So let's break that open a little bit. Chris talked about how it would have been, quote, humiliating. So clearly that's an emotional word. He was working off of emotion instead of logic.
Mm-hmm.
He said Dominic had lied to him the whole time. Well, maybe he had, but even so, that's the game of Survivor. You have to work around it. You don't just refuse to deal with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if Wendell and Dominic were both lying to him, and just, you know, for the record, I agree with you. I think they were sincere. But even if they were lying to him, Chris could have easily said yes, like you said earlier, and then work both with them and against them to see what would happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, he couldn't get past his own emotions. He refused to be a so-called puppet. And, you know, as Stephen Fishback pointed out in his blog, the Navidi recognized that while they'd all do well to vote off the Malolos, the feud eclipsed all other strategy, and Chris was the one perpetuating that feud.
Yes, and I do think that if he had taken a step back, even if you don't want them to be your puppet masters, as he's describing the situation, Wendell and Dominic and Chris working together, and he could have, he, again, this is his inability to communicate with people. He could have had conversations with them and they could have made decisions together. It doesn't have to be just because you agree to work with them, suddenly Dominic's in charge and you're, and he's your puppet master. It might be the three of you. It's like three heads are better than one. Let's all put, you know, our ideas together and our thoughts and see what we want to do. It didn't necessarily have to be so extreme where he was, it was like laying down his sword and becoming his minion. You know, that's what it sounded like, that he was kind of, he would be giving himself up to Dominic if he said yes in that moment.
Yeah. I don't know what more to say about that, but you know, Chris also had other problems in this rule related to the fact that he refused to make peace. He also showed all of his emotions. Mm. And, you know, as Morgan said in her interview with Mike Bloom after she was voted out, it was clear that Chris wanted Dominic out from the very beginning. She added, "We all knew how Chris was feeling. He wasn't very shy about that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was one more aspect of Chris's personality that I'm going to bring up here. And I think Steven said it best on Know It Alls, describing Chris as having crippling self-confidence.
Yes.
You know, he's incapable of thinking people might not do what he wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that as an emotional flaw. He was so sure of himself that it never occurred to him that people might not just go along with whatever he said.
Yeah. I think Jenna called him douchey, too, in one of her
professionals.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, you know, that's a little bit on the same path.
Right. Right. So we move along to the fifth rule here. And, you know, it says you have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Well, part of this obviously reaches back to the previous rule, because all Chris had to do was follow this rule and pretend to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But no. He wanted to continue his feud, as we've discussed. You know, I think we've probably discussed that one to death already. And there's just so much more to cover here because, you know, we need to talk about how suave Chris is, for one thing.
He's very suave.
Yes. You know, Chris had claimed in interviews that he's not the cocky, arrogant guy we saw on TV. And I've seen social media posts by other players indicating he is a nice guy outside of the game.
Mm-hmm, yes. And
maybe he is. But we're here to talk about how he was on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. In the preseason, we heard from no less than four other players who made specific comments about his cockiness to Josh Wiggler, with some saying specifically that they didn't plan on working with him. Others talked about his self-confidence and arrogance. And in our preseason podcast, I said it was clear that Chris needed to improve his social game. Well, so much for that.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. I was going to mention this later, those pregame comments that individuals made. But I believe Wendell even said, I effing hate that guy. it's pretty extreme. Like, the just going through what people said about him, there were very strong emotional reactions. He rubs me the wrong way. I mean, just arrogant and cocky and too hot for his own good. He's just the jock who loves himself. I mean, these were like very extreme notions that people had. And I don't think he realized that. I mean, he was tanning himself for 4 minutes on each side pregame. Come on. I mean, really? People are paying attention to you and you are tanning yourself for 4 minutes on each side. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, his utter lack of self-awareness when it came to his cockiness did bring us some humorous moments.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
for example, Chris said JT had gotten a little cocky. So, yeah, Chris said that about someone else.
Yeah.
You know, he also said in his Ponderosa video that there are times when you have to bite your tongue out there. But I sure don't know when he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may have been offset by his follow-up statement saying you have to be who you are. No, no, you don't, Chris, especially if you're Chris.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
So I want to move on now to something else that you had already mentioned, which was Wendell's hysterical voting commentary. Now, the part about his rapping got most of the attention, but he also said something else very important before that. He began by saying, socially, you don't know what you're doing. I hope you stop saying I so much.
Yeah.
I hope you start listening to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good nutshell description of Chris's problems. Always talking about himself rather than listening, which is a huge flaw in the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for example, we saw him acting as what the Dilbert comic strip labels a topper, which is someone who always has to one up the people they're talking to.
Mm.
So, you know, if you say that, you know, you walked to school a mile in 6 inches of snow every day, they would say, I walked 2 miles in 3 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a scene a couple episodes ago where for everything someone said, he had to one up them,
yes.
Such as when Laurel was talking about playing college volleyball.
Yep.
And, you know, so obviously that is a terrible social play. And Chris had even caused problems that you've mentioned already with Angela, who is ostensibly his ally.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned already that she didn't like the way Chris was talking to her earlier in the season. Wendell also talked about how Chris spoke to people in a way that wouldn't win them over to his side. And so many of Chris's tribe mates had web confessionals a couple episodes ago about wanting him gone.
Yeah.
One that was particularly amusing was the one you just referenced a couple minutes ago, which was Jenna in episode 6 saying she was trying to get past Chris's douchey outward persona to find out what was behind it.
Right.
But what she discovered was there really wasn't anything else there.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting because he screams of the type of person that you want to keep around, because if people don't genuinely like him or get along with him, him getting votes in the end is less likely. So it must be very extreme if everyone's willing to say, eh, you know what? I really can't handle it anymore. Like, he's got to go. And I think that's very telling about just how extreme it was, because people are with him 24/7. And that kind of behavior can wear on people very quickly, I would think. And we saw with the vote, it clearly did.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it just shows again, he doesn't get how he comes across, or didn't on Survivor mm-hmm. anyway. And, you know, another thing, more things he said about that just show he doesn't quite get it. He said in his CBS interview that he had to trust his ability to connect with people from all parts of America and all parts of life.
Yes.
And, you know, he believed he was making great relationships out there.
He did. He really did.
Yeah, he said in his Ponderosa video that he thought he built enough relationships to protect himself against a blindside. He doesn't know what went wrong. Well, in another interview, he admitted that, again, something you mentioned earlier, he didn't catch any of the eye rolling or people biting their tongues or anything else that was going on around him while he thought he was making great relationships. And I mean, that says something. Once again, crippling self-confidence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you are so unaware of the read of the room, I think we kind of touched upon this a little bit with Bradley, you know, that Bradley was so accustomed to speaking a certain way to the people that are in his everyday life. Perhaps Chris is very used to speaking to people in his everyday life in the way that he does, because it works for him in the life that he lives outside of Survivor, you know, and in the world that he works in, and, you know, as a model and as a personal trainer and these things, that maybe being overly confident is what helps him in that world. But it certainly didn't help him in the Survivor world.
Right, right. So I think it's appropriate to finish off this rule with a Wendell web confessional. Wendell said that he's tired and enough is enough. He's fought with Chris, talked to Chris, exhausted all options. So he has to get Chris out of here. He's given Chris plenty of options, but Chris's ego is, quote, ridiculous and out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's a big shot, but sometimes big shots have to get taken out.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Very strong.
So, all right, with that, we move to the sixth rule, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Chris said in his Ponderosa video that clearly, the others saw that he was smart and good at challenges. And he also said in interviews that he definitely thinks his athleticism played a role in his demise. What do you think?
Well, this, I found a very interesting quote from Dominic in his kind of recap of the season thus far about Chris, which I thought was interesting, where he was talking about how Chris can be very ridiculous at times, but I remember the first night in the shelter, Chris had everybody laughing with his rapping and his stories. From my perspective, Chris was really entertaining to have at camp. He was super motivational going into challenges, and he was a huge meat shield for so many players. So it was critical that I be part of that circle, but unfortunately that never panned out. And I thought that was very interesting, because the qualities that made him both somewhat frustrating and annoying to people also were some of his potentially greatest assets that also made him a threat to other people on his tribe, for people like Dominic. I mean, if he would have been able to control his emotions a little bit more, I think that his physical athleticism, and obviously he was entertaining, he had the opportunity to be shocking to all of us and become a huge threat. But part of that was lacking. Part of it was missing.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the part where Dominic said that he could have been a meat shield. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The whole point of a meat shield is to keep that person around to shield you.
Right.
Which would argue for keeping Chris.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. It didn't work, clearly.
Right. Right. So there had to be other factors there. And I don't think that it was his athleticism, because there were a lot of other people out there who could have been viewed as physical threats as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they all picked Chris.
Yeah.
You know, now I will say, yes, Chris did pose a threat of a different kind, specifically to Dominic Wendell, of course, and also to the overall well-being of the original Naviti, because whatever plan, you know, they might have wanted to come up with, whether it was picking off all the Malolos or if some of them had specific ideas of getting some of the Malolos on their side, they couldn't do it with Chris constantly out there attacking Dominic and Wendell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how he was a threat there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think pregame we had a lot of ideas about him. And yes, there was many people on this tribe and both tribes at the start that were very athletic and a lot of people who were very strong. And he clearly did well in the challenges. There was a lot of potential there, but he certainly isn't a triple threat, as we've heard, you know, various people talk about, you know, the threats that, I mean, and socially, that's one of the biggest components of really being a threat is a strategic threat and a social threat. And those were completely falling by the wayside for him, but he really thought he was doing great. He completely thought he was doing great. And so in his mind, yes, he was a huge threat to win.
Yeah. In his mind.
Yes.
So
he wrote a rap about it. Want to hear it?
no, I don't. All right. We move on to the seventh rule, which talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. And, you know, Chris did so much wrong here.
Oh, my word.
I considered discussing this rule first today, but then I realized he did so much wrong in every rule that there was no reason particularly to single out this one.
Yeah.
But so I'd like to take it in order of the events in this episode. So when we begin, Chris was talking about how he had to risk going to Ghost Island to get the idol. And he almost seemed to be debating it, but I'm like, no, of course you have to go.
You have to.
I couldn't understand why he was worried about getting caught, because already it seemed like everyone was already against him.
Yeah.
And later I realized, well, he just had no idea what was going on, which was why it seemed like a risk to him. I underestimated how oblivious he was about his tribe mates, but I guess at least he realized that it was indeed the proper thing to do to attempt the trip to Ghost Island.
Well, and the thing is when you're out there and you're sleeping at night, a couple of things, actually, it's extremely dark. So if you do disappear, chances of people noticing, unless you're sleeping very close to the fire, they might not even notice. So, you know, it's one of those things. I just remember with our sleeping arrangements, people kind of slept all over. People slept at the beach. People slept by the fire. People slept in the little hut. I mean, people slept on the hammock. So your opportunity of sneaking away and nobody noticing is pretty damn good. You know, so if you have a chance to do that, there's no debate whatsoever. There's absolutely no debate at all. You just put yourself in a position in the sleeping circle or wherever it may be that you can get away. And yeah, no one's. And even if someone sees you getting up, they might just assume you're going pee. You know what I mean? So I don't think it was as difficult as he necessarily thought it was going to be.
Right. And I mean, at least he made the right decision there.
Oh, my God. If he hadn't have gone,
Lord.
I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost my I did that later. But, you know, that's par for the course. Now,
the next decision was whether or not to gamble on extending the life of the idol. Now, we already covered why he was wrong to do that, so I don't think we need to discuss it again. So that brings us up to tribal council itself. And Chris said in his interviews that he didn't play the idol because he needed to get more out of the idol than just one tribal council in order to win the game.
Huh?
And
I don't understand.
Yes, that's exactly it. Huh? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
He had already compared his situation to being at war.
Yes.
So I guess he decided to go charging headlong into enemy fire without a bulletproof vest because he wanted to use his vest next time.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, that like, oh, this whole thing just kind of fascinates me. And in a lot of his interviews, he talked about the decision to not play the idol. It was if Dominic plays his and Wendell doesn't play one, I'm not going to play mine. But if Dominic and Wendell both play theirs, I'm going to play mine. And if neither one of them play theirs, then I'm going to play mine. And I like looked at that and went, still, huh? Because it's, if you know that you are the other half of the Dominic Wendell focus, who cares what Dominic and Wendell do? Because you have to be thinking about who they voted for. And they probably voted for you, especially since you know Dominic did, because he stood at his at the actual voting booth and said out loud, Chris Noble. You know, so I mean,
yeah,
there's just so many things here that just left me scratching my head.
Yeah, I mean, even before you get the additional information that came out, it still doesn't make sense. He should have used his idol no matter what, because at the merge, there can be a million things happening, mm-hmm. and it's often hard to figure out which plan will actually work. Yep. He should have played the idol as a just-in-case measure, especially since he could only use it one of two times.
Right. And how many things can change between that tribal council and the next tribal council? You know,
right. That's, you know, that's something I said earlier. I think, what are the odds that everybody's going to be with you now, and then 3 days from now, everybody's going to turn against you? No, it's much more likely they're going to be against you from the get-go.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, so he could only play it one of two times. Well, you know what? There was someone else in a very similar situation, because Dominic could only play the legacy advantage at 13 or 6. Mm-hmm. And he was 100% correct to play it when he did, even though it didn't end up mattering.
Right.
Because he could only play it one of two times. It made perfect sense to do it when he could have been at risk if he misread the situation. Chris was in the exact same position and didn't use his idol.
Yes. And here's the other thing I don't understand about all of what went down. If he thought that he had people on his side, I mean, and I'm going back to the Libby thing. I don't understand where, like, if he really thought that people were on his side, Libby should have never even been a consideration. Angela should have been saying Dominic. Everybody who's on his side should have been saying Dominic. And so if that is what we, I don't know, I guess now we're supposed to believe Libby was the real target. But if at the time, if it was supposed to be Dominic and you see Dominic get up and play the legacy, you should probably go, oh, shit, you know, like there goes my plan. Dominic's not going home. But then there's this whole other maybe Wendell, you know, they were splitting the votes. It's seriously, I'm like baffled. It makes no sense. No sense.
Well, I mean, okay. I guess Chris figured that there were still votes headed for Wendell. And since he knew two people were voting against Libby, it probably gave him confidence to not play his idol, because he figured even if Dominic and Wendell both voted against him, well, there was at least one person, Wendell, getting more votes than him. And then Libby would get the same number of votes as him.
Okay.
And if there were a tie, you know, his group would certainly break the tie in favor of it.
Oh, my word.
But I mean, it's like you said, he knew he was getting votes.
Yes, he knows he's getting votes. That there's too many potential computations there of things that can go wrong. So rather than take a risk, which this is that we go back to the he wanted to take a risk. And the, you know, the way to take a risk was to not play the idol so he could save it, so he could be there another 3 days. It's not going to matter if you're gone in this tribal council. You know, I mean,
right.
So taking the risk is actually saying, damn it, I'm going to play my idol right now and make sure that I am here for the next 3 days. Yeah,
because then, for example, Mr. Athleticism can win a challenge, maybe,
exactly.
And get immunity,
right.
Or find another idol, or who knows what.
Right. There could have been so many things that could have happened.
Yeah. And he also told Mike Bloom that not having a vote made him more hesitant to play his idol. And no, what? Not having a vote makes you more vulnerable because you can't even join in throwing votes at someone else.
Right. None of it makes sense.
Yeah.
I understand.
I mean, he said in his Ponderosa video that he didn't feel like he tarnished any relationships at tribal council, so he didn't play his idol. And I think he must have been thinking the way we've seen people think before, which is that everything changes at tribal council. No, it doesn't. He tarnished his relationships long before tribal council. So, yeah, nothing changed.
Yeah.
It was always bad, and it continued to be bad.
Yeah. Oh, I'll never understand.
Well, okay, to close out this rule, I do want to mention a couple comments Chris made on the show after being voted out. He said, at least I didn't leave it back on the island, as if this wasn't as bad as what JT did. But no, I'm sorry. It's worse to be voted out with the idol in your pocket after your enemy has played his advantage to get immunity.
And after he's announced your name while he's voting.
Right, right. Sorry. No, you know, you don't even compare to JT in that way.
Yeah.
And then also he said that the idol was indeed cursed. But I'm here to tell you it's not, unless the curse is to make the player holding it do incredibly stupid things.
Yes. I want to make a request, too, for everybody out there that's listening. Can someone please make like a collage of the various faces of Chris during Tribal Council while the votes were being read? Because if you rewatch it, it's hysterical. It is so funny to see his every time there's another Chris, his face changes so much every time. It's very entertaining. Someone should put that together.
I was too busy laughing myself to notice what he was doing.
I'm telling you, watch it again and just see the variations of his face. It's quite entertaining.
All right. So we're done with the main bulk of the rules and we move on to Appendix A. The key to this appendix is to keep your end goal in mind when you're voting. So we need to look at whether the other players made the right decision in voting out Chris. What do you think?
Well, that's what I went back. I said this previously, that he's the type of person that you might want to keep around because is he going to get votes at the end? I mean, I think Chelsea said it in one of her confessionals where if people don't like you, it's very hard to get votes at the end. It's going to be very difficult. And I think that's something that we see a lot in Survivor. If you're not well liked, people are going to be a little more hard on you, I think, in their final questioning. And you really have to kind of win them over instead of already, well, I already like that person. So it's a different vibe. And so perhaps keeping him around would have been better for people because if he's not liked. But then at the same time, you do run the risk of if he makes it to the end, then he might end up kind of proving everybody wrong and then saying, well, look at me. I lasted through this Dominic, you know, battle. And I don't know. So I'm kind of mixed about it. I'm very mixed.
Yeah, I mean... The way I see it, the original Malolo were smart to do anything that involved the Naviti looking in a different direction than that.
Absolutely. Them. Yes.
You know, the longer they can stick around, the greater the chance that they can wriggle into some Naviti cracks.
Yes.
And, you know, Libby in particular said in a web confessional that she knew her name was out there. So, of course, she'd want to go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously the right choice for Dominic and Wendell, because even if you thought you could bring Chris to the end and, you know, go up against it, well, there's no way those three could coexist on a tribe for that long.
No,
someone would be dead. And, you know, so those two, the decision is clear. We discussed Angela and Desiree earlier, so we don't need to go over them again especially since we really don't know why they voted the way they did.
I don't get it.
And I think the rest of the Naviti just wanted the Civil War to be over so they could go back to Malolo hunting.
Yeah. But here's an interesting thought, though, that was brought up. I think Jenna said it. She said, I'm pretty sure it was Jenna, that, or it might have been Desiree. It was one of them. But that basically, because there was this battle brewing between the two boys, between Dominic and Chris, turned the focus away from everything else that could potentially be going on. So it's a great distraction. Now that distraction's gone.
Yeah, well, that's true, but I think you gotta do it. And so I think overall, as a general matter, they mostly all made the right choice.
Yes, and I'm not saying that he should have stayed, that it would have necessarily, I could see it just, it wasn't going to improve life at camp at all. And I think it had the potential of being a detriment to other people's games, because he's just kind of a, not even that Chris is a wild card, but he's just so unaware that it makes it almost impossible to try to play the game with him, because he is so unaware.
Well, right. And so if I had to guess, I think Rob hit the nail pretty close on the recap show with Hannah when he said, you know, it's quite possible there was a situation where just the tide started to turn against Chris and he became the easy vote for not me. You know?
That's true.
And especially in a 13 person situation, once his name started to get solidified, it just made sense for everyone else to keep the tide rolling in that direction.
Yeah, because he's not someone you have to convince people. Like, well, why would we be voting out Chris? Right. They'd be like, oh, okay, I can see that. That makes sense. Yeah.
All right. Now, for the first time this season, we finally bring Appendix B into the mix, because it deals with the jury phase and how to seed the jury and what to do when you get to the end. But in this case, that really didn't play a role, so we can still pretty quickly skip by it. So it's officially in play, but nothing happened regarding it this time.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It means we are coming to the end here for Chris. Before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about him?
I do have a few. I have to quote him in one of his confessionals where he said, "I don't want to be that guy."
Too late.
Oh my God, this is so frustrating. You know, I'm not going to get to vote, but this idol can work for the next two tribals. I believe that it's completely worth it. Nothing is guaranteed. I can at least guarantee staying in the game a couple more days. Depends on how greedy I want to get. I haven't been to tribal yet, so playing this correctly is so important. I have to be very smart and keen about what's going on around me. I don't want to be that guy with an idol who gets sent home. And unfortunately, that's exactly what he was. He was the guy with the idol in his pocket. And I do think that Chris, now I think he is an enjoyable person. I think he's probably a quite lovely individual. He clearly loves his mom and he's got some great plans for his future. But unfortunately, with Survivor, he really played the game with blinders on. He believed he had made great connections that were strong, and he believed those bonds were so strong that he didn't need to play an idol. And that was a huge misstep, obviously, but I don't know if he could have escaped it, because as we've already discussed, all of those pre-game notions that people had about him turned out to be completely true in the game. So it's one of those situations where I don't think there was anything that he could have done except completely change who he is as a person while playing the game in order to try to last in the game. And it clearly didn't work out for him the way that he thought it was going to, because he went into the game thinking that he was going to do great. And then during the game thought he was doing great, and clearly he was not doing great. So I'm sorry, Chris, but you are that guy. And you went home with an idol in your pocket. But I still think he was fun to watch. And the rapping video will forever live in infamy. And so we will forever have an opportunity to enjoy Chris's rapping in his Ponderosa video.
Yeah, it's funny, because you picked up on the exact same quote I did, with him saying that he didn't want to be that guy who gets sent home like JT with an idol he didn't use. But right after he said that, he said, worst comes to worst, if he gets nervous, he'll play it. No, worst came to worst. He didn't play it, and he left with an idol in his possession, just like JT. Chris's errant idol play deserves a lot of the blame for his torch getting snuffed. Certainly, it was the last piece of the puzzle, but a lot led up to that point. Chris had a foolproof plan that did not even come close to working. He thought he had everyone on his side, when in the end, he had either nobody or almost no one on his side. He couldn't read the room at all, whether everyone was together or he was one-on-one. On Survivor, that's fatal. It led to his refusal to consider any flexibility, while his emotions wouldn't let him agree to even a temporary truce. And he couldn't even pretend to be nice for long enough to come up with another idea. Chris was single-minded and would not be deterred by the reality of the situation, perhaps because he was unable to see it. He couldn't figure out that people were against him, not with him. He couldn't figure out the logic behind proper idol use. In the end, I can only sum up by saying, Chris played a poor game, but his biggest crime might just be that his raps didn't rhyme. He thought he was suave. He thought he was the boss. And that, my friends, is why Chris lost.
Oh my God. That's so amazing. Cause you completely get into it. Oh my word. Thank you again for that. Ooh, that was good. That was really good. You brought that one home. I like it.
All right.
That was good. Oh my word.
All right. Okay.
That was fantastic. So we're done. Did you practice beforehand?
I don't want to give away, too many of my secrets.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was fun. Whew, all right. Sorry about that. That was fun. That was a good time.
See, once again, we couldn't drop the mic because we've got to move on to our predictions.
Oh, my God. I hate predictions.
Well, especially because once again, they're giving us nothing. I mean,
I know
what we know is that. Basically, Wendell tells Laurel about his idol. Laurel seems a little puzzled, and they have the gross food challenge.
I am so jealous.
You wanted to eat gross food?
Oh, my
food?
God. I was looking forward to it.
You wanted to eat eyeballs and living bugs?
I was so ready. Listen, it's one of those. Here's the thing. When we were out there, I was willing to eat anything. I didn't care. And, like, I was eating fish eyeballs. Whenever we had fish, I would eat the fish eyeballs because it's protein. And I was like, that's a little chewy. They're gummy. But in my everyday existence, you know, I probably wouldn't choose to. But out there, I was like, bring it on. And I was so mad we never got a gross food challenge. It would have been so much fun.
All right, well, you'll get to watch one.
I know.
And but we have no idea how that plays into anything. So I guess all I can start from is if I were Libby, after those two backup votes were cast my way, I would not feel terribly comfortable right now.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Libby did say that if Dez votes for her, Jenna's going to be mad at Dez. So maybe Jenna and Libby have a much closer relationship than we really know.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that'll matter, even if they do. But I think a lot of it depends on whether or not Angela and Desiree were in on the plan or totally out in the cold, because if they were in the dark, they're going to be potentially looking for a new home, which could really stir things up.
Mm-hmm.
If they were in on the plan, or even if it at least Desiree was in on the plan, then, OK, Angela's out in the cold. But, she's been out in the cold most of the game, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, no matter how much stirring there is, I keep coming back to Libby. There are still 12 people in the game, which means they need to do some winnowing down. And I feel like it would just be a lot easier to get a majority of people to agree on taking out Libby than on just about anyone else. So that's what I'm going with. I think we'll have a comparatively boring episode, though, frankly, almost any episode would be somewhat boring compared with the one we saw this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, I think we'll be saying goodbye to Libby.
That's interesting. That is definitely interesting. And I like it. Not that I don't want Libby to go necessarily, but I'm very torn with this whole Desiree and Angela thing, because I do feel like I feel like they were left out of the plan. That's kind of where my gut is going, is that they were left out. Because the other part of it that's weird is that the discussion that they had at the well was with Kellen and Chelsea. And then all of a sudden you only have these two voting for Libby. And I know you addressed it earlier that if that was part of the plan and Angela was in on it, that was genius. I feel like Angela has been out in the dark and has no idea what's going on. I'm leaning towards Angela because I just don't know how she would have I can't see her being that strategically genius. I just can't. But I like the Libby thing, too. So I'm really not giving you an answer.
I think you gave the answer of Angela.
I think Angela. And I didn't ask the magic eight ball, just so you know.
Good.
I still have to send you one.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to ask the magic eight ball right now? I have it.
If you have it handy,
I have it.
Sure,
it's right
go
here.
Ahead.
So
because it's been so accurate.
Is Angela
up till now.
Going home in the next episode? Signs point to yes. Swear to God, that's what it says.
Well, we discussed this before. Like 85% of the answers are positive. So
not 85%.
Oh, well, okay.
A good 80%. Number, though.
Yes, yes.
All right. So there we All are. Right. We did our predictions.
Okay. So before we finish up, I want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. Listeners can help support all of the RHAP podcasts by heading over to robhasawebsite.com/patron and taking a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kind of perks you can get. For example, we've previously talked about being able to get into the patron Facebook groups where you can find a ton of people who are also Survivor and reality TV fans. Not to mention being able to chat with both of us and other RHAP personalities. Rob does special podcasts and videos just for patrons. Patrons get first access to tickets for live shows and discounts for those events as well. There are a bunch of other perks too, so check out all the possibilities at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to us there.
Yes, please do.
All right. Time for a hashtag. Now, you had already planted a flag about what a hashtag for Why Chris Lost needed to be, which was beneficiary.
Yes, but no one can spell it right.
Well, I'm going to make it worse because I think we have to incorporate suave as well.
Oh, my God.
I think the hashtag should be suave beneficiary.
Can we just call him Rico? Rico
no,
suave.
Oh, my.
Come on. Is that not perfect?
Yeah but I have a feeling that hashtag may have been used.
I'm sure
before.
It did. So we're going to do.
Pretty sure suave beneficiary has never been
and
used.
And I don't so think here, anyone's going to be able to spell it all, but okay.
Well, I'm going to spell it. So if you're driving and listening to this, don't stop the car to write this down. You'll just have to come back to it later.
Good idea.
SUAVAYBENEFICIRY, suave beneficiary.
The worst part is I tried to write it down and I lost it at the end.
if you're listening at double speed or apparently even at single speed live, forget it.
Listen, I'm tired. It's been a week. I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, people can use the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YX Lost. And, you know, even Hannah remembered YX Lost when she was on the recap show. Mm-hmm. She thought I was Mike Bloom, but she remembered YX Lost.
We got halfway there, right?
Yeah. Bloom, Bloomberg, whatever.
Oh, my word.
All right.
Very exciting. So, good stuff.
Yes. So after listeners figure out that hashtag, they should make sure to subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcast by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor. And we are also on the reality TV Rehap-Ups feed. And just to be clear, that's Rehap-Ups, not Wrap-Ups. So don't expect more rapping in there. But in both places, you can find RHAP content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the RHAP B&B, and much more. Also, if you're buying anything on Amazon, like, oh, I don't know, a Magic 8-Ball.
That's right.
Make sure to head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And you can get those specific items like the one I already mentioned and the best flavor of Laffy Taffy, which is banana. But you can also go from that page to do any other Amazon shopping and you'll help support RHAP. So other than talking to the two of us in the patron Facebook group, listeners can also follow us on Twitter. Jessica is at JessicaLewis89. Mm-hmm. I am at David Bloomberg. Make sure you follow both of us to get the whole conversation throughout the week.
That's right. It's much more fun that way.
So,
and I think we should add another hashtag.
Another hashtag?
I do. I think we should do Bloomberg Raps.
I don't know about that. Well, now it's out into the ether. I can't stop it, I guess.
It was hysterical. It needs to be acknowledged.
Good. Okay. All right. People can do that if they want or if they can't spell suave beneficial. Which I can't understand why anybody wouldn't be able to spell.
I know. It's very straightforward and easy. I couldn't even spell it when you were telling me how to. So clearly it'll be all over Twitter.
Yes. Yes. It is going to be a trending topic any minute now. If two people make it a trending topic. So,
yeah. Good point.
Yeah. All right. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who does the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Also, thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, for another great episode.
Thank you, David Bloomberg, for making me laugh so much. My stomach hurt. That was amazing. I loved it. So this was truly fantastically fun. And I did tell you I thought that you were going to make me laugh a lot today, and you did. So thank you for that.
Sure, no problem. I just hope I made the listeners laugh as much.
I think you did. I think you accomplished that goal.
All right. Well, then we will be talking to you listeners again in 1 week's time. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
You lost survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.